So we have, in the congregation here, last couple of Sundays, been looking at one of the Psalms, Psalm 145. So we're going to continue to do that this morning, Psalm 145. And the theme of the part of the Psalm that we're looking at is the character of God. We've already seen from the Psalm that God is great, He's mighty, and that He's worthy of praise. And the psalm is a psalm of praise to God. And the section we're going to look at from verse 7 to 9, I'll put it up in a minute, is a section speaking of...
I'm going to have to come out of this and get that in for you. It's not in this thing speaking.
There's a mistake.
Yeah, just bear with me.
Right, that's okay. Right, so just close your eyes so you don't see what comes up on the screen for a minute. See, you're all looking now. I've totally lost you. But let's think about character for a minute. So that's where we've come to. The psalm of praise. We're praising God for His character. What kind of person is God? What is His character? Now, this is important. I mean, the character of any leader is important. In some countries, they have absolute leaders, dictatorships, with leaders with terrible character, and the whole country suffers. I was thinking this morning about Stalin, for example. 60 million people, they say, died under Stalin in the mid-20th century. Just because one person's bad character, given authority, wreaks total havoc. Now, God has the authority. So, if His character is bad, then this is worse than terrible news for us. But if His character is good, then that is the most wonderful security for us. And this is important, therefore, what God's character is. We can dismiss it and not think about it, but we will all at some point have to relate to God, even if it is on the day of judgment. And we will absolutely need to have the assurance that God is good in what He does, whenever we deal with Him. What about ourselves? We don't have the authority of God, but we do have a little authority. How do we do in our little kingdoms? You've got a little kingdom, maybe in your house, where you work, and among your friends. How does your character deal with the little bit of authority that you have in your life? Are there problems, relationship problems perhaps? And they ultimately boil down to your character. I mean, that's universally true, I guess, that our characters are not perfect, so we always do have a measure of relationship problems, and they are rising out of the bad character of human beings. And as far as we are concerned, what we need in God's presence is forgiveness. We need forgiveness from God. But David in the psalm praises God for His good character. So, let me read the words till they come up on the screen in a minute. Let me read the words. So this is from 145, verses 7 to 9. And it's speaking about God's people praising God. And it says, they will celebrate your abundant goodness. So that's one word of character. And joyfully sing of your righteousness. Another word. And then, verse 8, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. So there's several words there about the character of God in this psalm. Several words celebrating His character. And David is worshipping God for that. Good thing to do. Do you ever stop and just thank God for His character? Thank you, God, that you're good. Thank you that you're loving. Thank you that you tell the truth. Thank you that you can be trusted. You're faithful. You're a covenant God, a God who makes commitments and keeps them. It's good to know the goodness of God's character. Now, how does David know God's character from the psalm? Well, he knows God's character in the psalm, rather, because it's something that has already come up in the history of his people. When we're thinking about David, who is probably the author of this psalm, although it could mean the title of the psalm that is dedicated to David, rather than him being the author. But whatever, David's about 1000 BC. About 400 years before that was the Exodus, when the people of God came out of Egypt. The thing about 400 years ago, in our thinking, where does that take us to? I mean, it seems like not very long ago, really. You know, in our thinking, that takes us back to the Reformation. And, you know, anyone that wanted to deny the Reformation happened today would be thought of as mad. And in David's day, the Exodus was recent history, really, and the effects of the Exodus continued to be. Today, of course, people say, oh, the Exodus, maybe it didn't happen. But then, that's what people do. Still, we've got people today who deny even the Holocaust happened last century for their own purposes. But as far as David was concerned, the Exodus was fresh still in the minds of the people. And it was a story that was endlessly told and repeated in that oral culture and what had happened. And one of the highlights of the story, we read it in Exodus 33 and in Exodus 34, one of the highlights was when God revealed his character to Moses. In Exodus 34 and verse 6, it says, he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, here we go, he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, and here are the words, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And there was more to it, but these are the words that David now quotes. If you go back to verse 8 there, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. This is David quoting God from 400 years previously at the Exodus. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Moses had asked God, show me your glory. And God says, I can't do that because my glory is too great. So, what I'll do is, and God shows him his character. He says, you might not understand this yet, but you'll find out more about my character in the years ahead as I lead the people out of Egypt, through the wilderness and into Canaan, and in my dealings with them subsequently and right through history. You will find out that this is the kind of God that I am. And every one of us is going to find this out. If we've not found it out already, we're going to find out the character of God. If we can't avoid God, we can hold all kinds of ideas about God in our minds for a little while, but eventually we all will meet him if we haven't already met him. And this is what we will find out that God is like. So these aspects of God's character that the psalm mentions, his goodness, his righteousness, his grace, his rich love, his slowness to anger and his compassion, they all go into making a relationship, a covenant relationship that God has with his people. So Christians today, when we relate to God and his goodness and his grace and all these things, we do so in a relationship that God has established through Jesus. It's called the New Covenant. And we actually were thinking about this last Sunday evening, the New Covenant. And we're tasting all the time as Christians the character of God in our relationship. And for sometimes if we're walking really close to God, then, you know, we can just almost feel we're on the fringes of heaven. And things like the rich love of God, they overwhelm us. But at times when we're being disobedient, then we may experience the righteousness of God. That is, God doesn't walk with us into the places of disobedience, because he's righteous. If we're not being righteous, then the relationship is strained, and it's because of our character, our bad character, but it's there. And in that condition, we may experience a slowness to anger. God's very patient with us. But sometimes, God will come to a point where he expresses his anger in discipline, disciplining his children. And sometimes we've got hardship in our lives, and the reason it's come is because of our disobedience, to bring us back to himself. And so on. I could spend lots of time thinking about how we relate to God and the different ways that his character reveals itself to us in our relationship. But it's the same for the non-Christian, except the outcome is different. Because a non-Christian is not wanting to walk with God. A non-Christian is someone who hopefully will become a Christian, but at the point where they're not Christian, they're not wanting to walk with God, and all the good things about God's character actually result in them being excluded. You know, you might say, why would God's compassion, for example, exclude a non-Christian from a relationship with God? Well, because you see, and this is really particularly on the Day of Judgment that these things show, because you see, it's just like at the Exodus, God had to judge Egypt to get his people out. It was his compassion for his own people that meant that Egypt, which were mistreating Israel and wouldn't let them go, had to be judged in order that they would let Israel go. And so on the Day of Judgment, God brings his people to himself in his compassion. And because of his compassion for his people, he can't have everyone else with them too, because that would be bad company. And that would make for disharmony. It wouldn't be heaven. It wouldn't be good to have in the midst of God's people, people who hate God. So God, in his compassion, excludes the non-Christian from his presence. In compassion for his own people, if you see. And you could go on thinking about this too. But everyone meets the character of the same character. It's not like God has one character for one people, one kind of person, and one character for another. And God tells us this. He also shows us this. He shows us his character. And just go back to the verses. He shows us his character. And he shows us it in the Exodus, as I mentioned, where the character of God is revealed both to Egypt and to the Israelites. Same character, different outcomes. He shows it to us in Jesus, and we must always recognise that when we're looking at Jesus' character, this is what we see. We see the Lord gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. As I said with the kids, that doesn't mean everyone likes Jesus because of people's bad character. Sometimes they hate Jesus, but his character, Jesus' character, is the character of God and is good. God shows us his character in our own experience as well. And because of our bad character, often the way we first encounter God is through his righteousness and a realization that we are unrighteous. And then hopefully that brings us to God to ask for his forgiveness. And then we encounter God in his mercy, in his grace, in his undeserved care for us, and in his giving us salvation through Jesus. If you want to really know the character of God, then become a Christian. If you want to know the character of God, turn to God for his mercy. The parable of the prodigal son. The younger brother goes away, sins a lot, then gets to taste the righteousness of his father in how sin is bad and messes up his life and brings him low. And then he turns around and comes back to his father and he gets to taste the compassion of his father. In compassion, he runs to meet him. And it's like an eye-opening for the younger brother. I didn't know you were like this, Dad, but he was always like that. And this is the way it is with non-Christians. It's because of the unrighteousness of their lives. Often all they can see is the judgment of God, the justice of God, the righteousness of God. Because we're living against God, so we're always in conflict with him. He doesn't want me to do this. This temptation I'm intended with, he doesn't want me to yield to this. He doesn't want me to have fun. That's how we project it and make out that it is. And we end up resenting God's character because all we can see, we're not seeing the compassion, we're not seeing the love. All we can see is the justice. But when we turn to God, Lord, I'm sorry for the way I've lived. I've resented your character. I've hated you. Then we taste the mercy and the compassion and the greatness of God's love. And we say, why didn't I see that before? Well, it was always there. It's your bad character that was the problem. The thing that makes you a person who needs salvation. So the greatest way to know God's character is to be saved by him. That's what the Israelites found out in the Exodus. That's what the disciples found out when they were with Jesus and they saw him die for them, rise again, send his spirit, and they began to understand what had happened. And that's what the Christian church has been finding out ever since. It's what we find out ourselves. The character of God that this Psalm 145 is so rich in describing and praising God for. And so praise comes out of discovering God's character. And just let me just rattle through these quickly. Three headings. What happens when we know God's character? Well, first of all, we want to tell him. Praise him. Thank him. Then we as Christians want to tell one another about what God is and what he's done for us. But we also want to tell everyone. So, going back to the passage. We want to tell him. And so we see in verse 7, they, and these are the people we've already been singing about in the psalm, who want to tell one generation to another about God's works. They celebrate the abundant goodness and joyfully sing of the righteousness of God. So this is what we do when we're praising God, both together and alone, and in whatever context. We're praising God for his goodness and his righteousness, his character. We're so glad God is the kind of God whom he is. Because if he wasn't that, then our lives would be an endless misery. We have a good God. And that is a conviction we need to have deeply in our hearts. Our experience may shake us from that at times. Because the world is full of bitter things. And the world is full of confusing things. And often we set up God to do something the way we think he should do it. And he doesn't do it that way. And then we blame him when all along it was just that we thought he should do it that way. And he was doing something else that was better. And we resent him. And often we get into all sorts of mess thinking about the character of God. That's why we need to come back to things like the psalm and to the character of Jesus all the time and rediscover what we've lost sight of and praise God for who he is. But we also want to tell one another. In verse 8, for example, we're singing those words that God spoke to Moses, but we're singing them to one another. Remember I said that last week in the psalm?
Often in Psalms, you're not singing to God at all, you're singing to one another. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. Well, at this point, we're talking to one another. We're telling one another what God is like. I need to tell you about the character of God because you'll lose sight of it. And you need to tell me about the character of God because I often know that I lose sight of the character of God. I need people to encourage me. You need people to encourage you. We need to keep telling one another and helping one another to see that God is good. It's a bad world. There's a lot in the world that is really, really corrupt, really disturbing, and would make us ask all sorts of questions. And we need to keep coming back to this. The goodness of the character of God and of Jesus. So we need to tell one another. And we also need to tell everyone. We want to tell everyone about God and his character. So in verse 9, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. So it's not just like the folks who are coming to church have a good God and everyone else doesn't. It's like everyone has a good God, just don't know it yet. And the Church of Christ in the world needs to tell the rest of the world that they too have a good God. And that if only they would turn to him, they would find out that goodness. Meanwhile, people trudge on through their lives, doing the best they can and getting more and more burdened and troubled, more deeply confused, because they're not turning to God and they're not acknowledging the goodness of his character. And there's no other bedrock in the world. There's no other firm foundation, because you can't put a foundation down on human character, because it's all over the place. You can't put a foundation down on nature, because nature is not personal in the way that people are and God is. The only solid foundation of character that is the character of God in Jesus. And this is what the world needs to hear. So we might want to say to the world things like, world, what are you complaining about? Look at what God is giving you in his compassion and in his goodness. He isn't giving you what you deserve. This is us saying to the world these things. He isn't giving you what you deserve. Look at all you have. And he is giving you opportunity for mercy. If you will come to him, you will see how great his mercy and his goodness really are. So this ought to be the burden of our hearts to people. Because we live with people all around us who are struggling because they really don't know where to find goodness and hope. And we can tell them. So, joyfully sing of the righteousness of God, as verse 7 says. Joyfully sing, even though we're not righteous. I'm not righteous in myself. But God's righteousness shows me what I should be, what he wants me to be, but I'm not that. I'm unrighteous. How can I joyfully sing of the righteousness of God if I'm unrighteous and he's righteous? Well, the righteousness of God is not a threat to me if I see that in his righteousness he has done something wonderful to make me righteous. And he's done it in Jesus. Because Jesus also has the character of God. He is righteous. But God presented Jesus on the cross as a sacrifice and a payment for my unrighteousness. This is a real thing. It's really what was happening at the cross, where Jesus died. In order to take away my unrighteousness and make it something that Jesus carries for me. It's taken away from me. My unrighteousness is taken. And in order that when Jesus rose again from the dead, he could then share his righteousness with me. Come into me by his Holy Spirit and make me one with him. This is a gift. It's the gospel. It's the good news that the world needs and that I need and you need every day. And that we joyfully sing, therefore, of the righteousness of God, because as Christians, that righteousness belongs to us for Jesus' sake. Just one or two more things from this. So, okay. Sorry, I've misdirected Margaret and given her the details for the slide. Forget the top two verses there. They're actually from here. Verse 13b in Psalm 145, this is what it says. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving to all he has made. Character of God, the Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. And verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. And then that brings me to 1 John 1 verse 9. Great verse. If we confess our sins, God is faithful, that's what the psalm just said, and just, righteous, and he will forgive us our sins. Loving, faithful, righteous, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, good. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is the character of God. Notice it. Why is it possible to be forgiven when I'm unrighteous? If God is just severe, if God is a dictator who wants nothing but absolute obedience, or he dismisses us, we're doomed. We're doomed. We're already doomed. But the gospel is God is faithful and just. He's faithful to his promises, we just read in the psalm. And his promises come to me for mercy, and I'll give it to you. And he's just. That is, he doesn't brush our sins under the carpet, pretend they haven't happened. He punishes them on the cross. He's righteous. He's just. And he will forgive us our sins if we confess them and purify us. Isn't that a great invitation to finish with this morning? God's character is saying to you, come to me with who you are and what you are and what you've done. Don't try and somehow cover it up or try and fix it yourself or try and make it good, because you cannot. Because more bad won't make the bad already done better. Come to me as you are. Confess not how good you are, confess your sins. Tell me about your bad character. Tell me that you're not like me. Tell me that you're not compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Tell me that you're not righteous. Tell me. I'm inviting you to do this. Come and tell me that you're not all of the good things that I am. Don't let my goodness deter you and make you run from me or hide from me or try and deceive me into believing that you're something you're not. Come to me. My good character is inviting you, is calling you to myself. that you can receive from me as you tell me about your bad character, forgiveness for your sins and purification from all your unrighteousness. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, by which God this morning now is calling you and me to himself to confess our sins and through his good character to receive his forgiveness.